May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
Please sit down. There's a couple of different threads and thoughts behind these readings, but we know that responding to God's call has been, you know, one of the themes for the last weeks, and I think will be even next week. And today we have two. We have the call of Samuel, and we also have the call of Philip and Nathanael. Now, Samuel is such an interesting story because Hannah, his mom, had been praying and praying and praying and praying because she wanted to conceive a child. And it was later on in life, and she actually bare her son. And she dedicated Samuel to God's work. She actually gave up her firstborn son to God because he answered her prayers. I have to say, to me, that would be very hard if I had been praying and praying and praying and wanted a baby and got one. That's a remarkable sense of faith that she could, you know, turn back to the Lord our God and dedicate him to God's work as an infant. And so he went to live with Eli. Now, in those days, the priesthood, let's say the status quo, they were not doing too well. And we know that from this reading. So when Samuel was approximately around the age of 12, which in Jewish tradition is when they become men, God called him. And Samuel didn't even really know God yet. So in the night, he hears his name, so he runs to Eli. And Eli said, no, I'm going to go back to that. And this happened three times. Finally, Eli got the hint. He realized what was going on in the coat panel. Next time he said, Lord, speak, I'm listening. And Samuel obeyed Eli. And God told him, not exactly what he wanted to hear, but God spoke to him. And he becomes, in the end, one of the greatest prophets for all of Israel. This teaches us that God calls not according to age, not according to gender, not even according to a relationship with himself at first. God calls from the heart. God knows our hearts better than we know our own hearts. God knows what's in our mind better than we are. We remember St. Paul, that's a great example. Great example. Yes, he had a relationship with God, but he was going around killing all the Christians. And then he decided God, through Jesus Christ, Paul met Jesus face to face, and he did an abrupt about face change. So that's how God calls. He calls according to what's in our hearts. What's in our mind, what we really want in life, and God confess. So Samuel is a role model for everyone, for all of us to know that we are to listen to God, to hear what he says, and then that one word, obedience. And we heard that so many times during Advent and the Christmas lessons. Mary being obedient, of course Elizabeth being obedient, and then Joseph, St. Joseph, Jesus' daddy, being obedient. But just as Samuel's call was a rejection of the priesthood at that time, and we know that from what we hear is going to happen to Eli and his sons, and it's sad too because Eli's sons were despicable, but Eli was faithful. God was not faithful enough to restrain his sons. But just as that call of Samuel was a rejection to the established priesthood, they knew something new was going to happen with Samuel. And the same thing happens in the gospel. Jesus' call is new Pharisees and the Sadducees really didn't want to have much to do with him at all because they were afraid. They were not genuine. They didn't really believe God. They believed more in themselves and in their power and in their status. So something new in the gospel time was about to happen. So Jesus' call was to ordinary people. Just plain ordinary people. Anybody that would choose to listen, choose to hear him, choose to obey him, and answer his call would be yes. When he would say, follow me. And that's what would happen. So we have Andrew and Simon. Now Andrew was called first, and he went and he kind of encouraged Simon Peter to come and follow him. So here, when they decided to go to Galilee, Jesus now finds Philip, who became like an apostle instantly, because what did he do? He went and he found Nathan. And we all know what happened with Nathan. I just love this. Nathan was very skeptical. Skeptical. He says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, that was really serious, but also sarcastic, because Nazareth was a very insignificant town. And everybody, especially then, expected the Messiah basically to come in as a warrior on a white horse and slaughter all the bad guys. But that's not God's will. God's will is for the good guys and the bad guys to come to him. And that's why God is always loving everyone to him, no matter what. Always there is love. So what happens next? Philip said, well, we have found him, about whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, and it's Jesus. And then he comes up with his famous saying, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And what does Philip say? He doesn't explain, he doesn't give reasons, nothing. He just says, well, come and see. And then what happens is fascinating. When Jesus sees Philip and Nathanael coming, he says of them to the group, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How interesting, because they had never met and Nathanael knew this. So he said, well, where did you get to know me? And Jesus answered, I saw you under the fig tree before I called Philip. Back then, the fig tree was like a usual place for Jewish people to go and sit. It was like a proper place to read the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the law of the Israelites. And then what happens next? Nathanael's like, wow, you are the Messiah. You are the King of Israel. Because he was shocked, because Jesus knew that he was well-versed in the Bible. So here we've got Nathan, who went from total skepticism to total faith in less than 2 seconds. And this represents how Nathan was able to sense the presence of God Almighty in Jesus. And that's he was called as well. God called because of the hearts, nothing more and nothing less. So he said, Jesus said, do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? He said, you will see greater things than these. And then it's very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels ascending and descending. So many times lately we've heard about the heavens being torn apart or the heavens opening. Remember last week in Jesus' baptism, the heavens opened. They tore apart and the dove came down. This signifies how Jesus makes God's kingdom one with us here on earth. Jesus makes God accessible. Jesus is showing everyone back then and now that he loves us so much that he just tears open. He rends heaven's garment so that we can see and really be and know and love God as he truly is. In our lives, we are to honor the presence of God. Not only here at church, but everywhere we are. And not only God's presence, but the presence of God in us. We are to honor one another because the Holy Spirit resides in each and every one of us. We are to also realize, honor ourselves and conduct ourselves as holy and godly as we are able, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God. And when we sin, that should kind of be a trigger of grief for us. And that's why we ask forgiveness of sins. That's why we come in absolution from God only. We are to honor God in ourselves, God in others, and above in Jesus Christ. And we hear so many times Jesus is the door. Well, actually, in the last few weeks, calling Jesus is a ladder from here up to heaven. And Jesus is always there with open arms to help us go up the ladder as we grow. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings you have given us. We also thank you especially for our ability through you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to sense your presence, to sense your holiness. Help us to be like Samuel and to be like Nathan, being trustworthy and honest, with no deceit, and being able to serve you as you deserve and as you desire. Help us to love you more and more each and every day, to love one another, and to love ourselves through Jesus Christ. Amen.